Clock, it's cloudy and 26 degrees. We look for it to be mostly cloudy here today with a 40% chance of light snow or flurries, a high around 32. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Well, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening will receive information from Fire Chief Mark McNeese with regard to the adding of an e-notify text message notification service for emergency responders to the Cass County Communications Center. Cass County 911 Coordinator Rob Copper has indicated that if the local fire departments want to add cell phone text notifications of emergency calls, that decision would have to be made by each city council in the county. City Administrator Doug Harris said there are some questions as to the relative effectiveness of the procedure and cost. He said while the volunteer firefighters would like to be able to get emergency text messages on their cell phones, it may take as long as 10 minutes for them to receive it, depending on where they are, of course. In addition, Atlantic Police Chief Steve Green has indicated it would place an extra workload on dispatchers and likely require more personnel at the comm center. Harris is expected to recommend the council refer the matter to the Community Protection Committee for review and recommendation. In other business, the Atlantic City Council tomorrow night will receive an application request from local developer Don Sontag for a tax increment financing, or TIF, grant in the amount of $250,000. The funds would be used to help him construct a 10-duplex condominium housing development known as Southern Heights 2. The 20 units would be available for sale or rent. If the council approves the TIF application, it will be the first under the city's new policy governing both commercial and industrial and residential developments. Harris is expected to ask the council to refer the application to the Community Development Committee for its review and recommendation, since the TIF policy indicates the use of TIF incentives is a discretionary program and not an entitlement. There are still many steps the council must take before any development takes place in the subdivision, even if it eventually approves the TIF application. That includes a public hearing on the city's Southeast Urban Renewal Plan, discussions with the Atlantic Community School District and county, and other such procedures. The Atlantic City Council meeting begins at 5:30 p.m. Wednesday at City Hall. Our news time is 8:02.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
And in state news, a proposal to legalize marijuana for medical use likely is dead for the session. The Senate subcommittee approved the bill on Monday, but the panel's chairman, Iowa City Senator Joe Bolcom, said the proposal likely won't go any further because there isn't support for it in a full committee. The bill would allow patients with qualifying conditions such as cancer to get a prescription for medical marijuana. Nonprofit dispensaries could provide marijuana to eligible patients. Bill advocates with illnesses like multiple sclerosis and post-traumatic stress disorder testified yesterday that marijuana was a better alternative to synthetic prescription drugs. Republican subcommittee member Senator Joni Ernst opposed the bill, saying it would be difficult to ensure dispensaries won't sell marijuana to people without a prescription. A House subcommittee has rejected a similar bill. A commercial property tax proposal from Governor Terry Branstad is moving forward in the Republican-majority Iowa House, while a very different plan has support in the Democratic-controlled Senate. Republicans in the House Ways and Means Subcommittee Monday approved legislation from Branstad that would gradually reduce taxable assessments for commercial property owners by 20%. Branstad's plan, which is estimated to cost $350 million, would also slow the growth of residential and agricultural assessments. Senate Democrats have given committee-level approval to a plan that would gradually provide commercial property owners with a tax credit equivalent to roughly 40% tax cut on their first $324,000 in assessed property value. Democrats say their $250 million plan would help small businesses more than the governor's plan. A bill designed to deter businesses from hiring illegal immigrants appears to be dead after an Iowa House panel opted not to vote on the proposal. Members of a House Labor Subcommittee decided to take no action Monday on the bill, which established punishments for businesses that knowingly hire illegal immigrants. The measure had been sponsored by 27 Republican lawmakers. Under the proposal, an employer in violation could have lost its business license and been forced to fire all illegal immigrant workers. Iowa contractors and businesses would have joined 27 other states that run employee documents through a federal electronic verification system. Subcommittee Chairman Representative Greg Forrestal of Macedonia declined to hold a vote on the measure, saying he feared it would be costly for state and local governments to enforce. Three Iowa district judges have been appointed to a new court that's being created to handle complicated business lawsuits. Chief Justice Mark Cady signed an order on Monday appointing Judges Michael Huppert of Des Moines, Annette Szczesny of Albia, and John Tellien of LeClaire to the Iowa Business Specialty Court. Cady said the judges were picked based on their backgrounds and experience overseeing complex commercial cases. Iowa's court system is testing out the business court in a 3-year pilot program. The goal is to help resolve lawsuits quickly and fairly in disputes over intellectual property rights, contracts, and more. All parties in a case must agree to have the court handle their cases after it starts operating on May the 1st. Cases involving alleged damages of $200,000 or more will be eligible. Lawmakers in the State House are set to take up anti-bullying legislation backed by Governor Terry Branstad. A House subcommittee is scheduled to debate the bill today. The legislation would strive to deal with so-called cyberbullying by updating state guidelines for school districts to include bullying that occurs outside school on social media sites like Facebook. Branstad convened a bullying prevention summit in Des Moines last November. The previous April, a 14-year-old boy from Primgar committed suicide following bullying at school and online after he told people he was gay. In June of last year, a Mason City girl and her mother sued the Mason City School District, saying it did nothing to protect the teen from bullying. Iowa's Republican governor says his plan to provide health care coverage to about 90,000 low-income Iowans could be a model for national reform of Medicaid. Governor Terry Branstad on Monday called it the Healthy Iowa Plan, and it's similar to a program in Indiana.
The coverage is not as rich as it is under the federal program, but then again, it's not. It doesn't put Iowa at as much risk, I guess, and the nation for that matter, with regard to an unaffordable, unsustainable program. And we can see what's going on in Washington today. And it's going to just get worse and worse and worse.
Branstad has resisted Democrats' calls to expand Medicaid to cover up to 150,000 more Iowans, arguing the state can't trust the federal government to pay the entire bill. Under the governor's Healthy Iowa Plan, Iowans who live at or below the poverty level would get a state subsidy to buy private insurance.
If you have no skin in the game, if it's somebody else is paying the whole cost of it, it's like former Governor Tim Pawlenty from Minnesota said, it's like going to a wedding where you have an open bar versus a cash bar. There's going to be a lot more liquor consumed with open bar.
State subsidies to Healthy Iowa Plan participants would increase if they take steps to live healthier lives, like undergoing a health risk assessment.
So that it encourages people to make healthy choices rather than just provide a blanket entitlement.
State officials will submit a waiver to federal government in May or June, hoping to get approval to run the program. The Healthy Iowa Plan would replace the current Iowa Care program, which expires on December 31st. It has provided health care coverage to about 70,000 Iowans. Those are all people who live at or below the poverty line. Branstad said other low-income Iowans who live just above the poverty line would be able to buy private insurance and get a tax credit equal to the premium cost.
Right now, Medicaid is where welfare was in the 90s. It's a broken system. It's unaffordable, unsustainable. We need to come up with a new model.
Branstad made his comments Monday during a weekly news conference. Democrats immediately dismissed his proposal. Senate President Pam Yoakum, a Democrat from Dubuque, said it would provide fewer health care services to fewer Iowans at a higher cost to Iowa taxpayers. Yoakum calls it second-class health care to tens of thousands of working Iowans. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, more snow is on the way for parts of Iowa, and forecasters say it'll continue to snarl traffic and disrupt people's daily routines. Still, some residents say they appreciate the winter wonderland outside. Motel clerk in Mason City said it looks like Christmas after about 10 inches of snow fell in that area. Also, the UN Security Council will meet behind closed doors this morning to talk about North Korea just hours after the U.S. and the North's strongest ally, China, reached an agreement on sanctions against North Korea for its nuclear test late last month. North Korea is now vowing to cancel the 1953 ceasefire that ended the Korean War. The Vatican is still waiting for five more cardinals to arrive before setting the date to begin selecting a new pope. A total of 115 are expected to take part in the conclave. During the second day of pre-conclave meetings today, cardinals asked for information about the management of the Vatican bureaucracy after saying they wanted to get to the bottom of allegations of corruption and cronyism in the Holy See's governance. The Dow is starting the day within a striking distance of an all-time closing high, and stock futures have been higher in pre-market activity. There's another sign today that the U.S. housing market is gaining some momentum. Real estate provider CoreLogic said home prices rose 9.7% in January from a year earlier. That's the biggest annual gain since April of 2006. Home prices also rose 0.7% in January from the month before. Martha Stewart is set to take the stand in New York State Supreme Court today in a bitter legal battle between Macy's and JCPenney. Macy's is suing the media and merchandising company that Stewart founded for breaching an exclusive contract when she signed a deal with Penney's in December of 2011. Macy's has sold Martha Stewart products since 2007. And a government study says U.S. women aged 75 and younger are dying at higher rates than in previous years in nearly half the nation's countries. Counties, rather, and many of those women are disadvantaged, white, and in rural areas in the south and western parts of the U.S. Some researchers blame higher smoking rates, obesity, and less education, but several experts say they don't know why. News time is 8:11.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Gary Smith, age 72 of Harlan, died Saturday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Gary Smith will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Mary Lou Stengel, age 83 of Manning and formerly of Coon Rapids, died Sunday at the Manning Hospital. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Lou Stengel will be held Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Dave Worthington, age 74 of Atlantic, died Saturday at his home. Memorial services for Dave Worthington will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. in the chapel at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Roy Schilling, age 79 of Aspinwall, died Sunday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Roy Schilling will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Viola Dowd of Stockton, California, died February 25th. Interment for Viola Dowd will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. in the Greenwood Cemetery at Cumberland. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Betty Eileen Johnson, age 97 of Avoca, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Betty Johnson will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at the United Church of Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Megan McCarthy Johansson, age 29 of Omaha and formerly of Avoca, died February 28th. A massive Christian burial service for Megan Johansson will be this Saturday at 10 o'clock at the AHST High School Gym in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Robert Krauth, age 75 of Messina, died February 27th in Mesa, Arizona. A celebration of life memorial service for Robert Krauth will be held in April in Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina is in charge of the arrangements. Ronald D. Nielsen, age 88, a resident of the Heritage House in Atlantic, died this morning. Services for Ronald Nielsen are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Father Frederick Reichel, age 87, of Erling, died Monday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home in Erling. Services for Father Frederick Reichel are pending at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. And that is a check of our news and funeral announcements here on KJAN, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.